This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Jim Hoffer and Kim Schaller take you behind the scenes. It's conversations with musicians and artists who are performing right here at the Lidded Shirt Factory.
It's a place where people can really get together and have great sound, great music, and great beer.
We have Collusion Tapworks Brew Pub on the first floor and the Shirt Factory live music venue upstairs.
A great music vibe.
I love the intimacy of it.
Being with friends who like the things that you like really good music.
This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Let's go.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Wow, it's been a while since we sat down and did a podcast.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
It has. We actually did Colebrook Road the other night, so we talked to them, which everybody's going to hear shortly here. But
the
for you and I
them.
Just to sit? Yeah, I know. So what's up? Things are well?
Yeah, things are doing fairly well.
Yeah,
I have to say.
It's a glorious day today, so we are both so excited. And Jim rode his bike.
I did.
From Lidditz to downtown Lancaster. Blows me away. Not the distance, but it's so freaking dangerous on those roads. I can't believe you did it.
Yeah. Maybe not the smartest thing, but, you know, I used to ride bike all the time in Manhattan.
Right.
You know, I don't want to get cocky about it. That's just when I'll screw up and, you know.
Yeah, but Manhattan's used to it. Like 501, I don't see many bikes
going
down 501.
Yeah, I'm not going home that way.
Okay. Good.
Smart. Yeah. Just too many trucks and also just loose gravel and sewer
like
vents.
And grates. And well, anyway, hey, what's going on? Do you have anything exciting coming up?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we have a great, you know, June is going to be a really good month for the Shirt
Factory.
Tell
us what's happening at Shirt Factory.
Well, on June 10th, which is a Friday.
Oh, my God, that's my birthday.
Is it really your birthday?
It is my birthday.
Oh, my God, 51.
Is that why you're 51?
Yeah.
64. Went on 64.
Well, I hope you come to this, because then we'll celebrate.
I won't be here. Sorry, I'll be out of town for my birthday.
Where are you going to be?
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Tell me first.
No, Friday, June 10th, next time. This is a band that I literally ran into while running in Central Park.
Oh, I love this story. Yeah. Okay, tell the story.
Yeah, so I, you know, whenever I go to New York City, I run in Central Park.
In your favorite place.
It's my favorite thing to do. And there's always musicians there. One of the reasons I love doing that. And I ran, this band was near, let's see, where were they? Near the Reservoir. And they were playing. I stopped them, listening to them, and I thought, wow, they are really good. Young guys, four young guys.
Yeah.
They're all from New York City. And I
what?
Approached
you
them.
You went up to
I
them
went,
and
I said,
hey,
listen.
Come to my club in Lidditz.
Yeah. And, you know, so since then they have a new album. They have an album release. I think
what
it's actually their first album. I would say it's kind of like indie pop.
Yeah.
It's really original.
Oh,
they write
I
their
bet
own
they
songs.
I'm surprised to have you approach them.
And they're really good. I'm really psyched about them.
Yeah.
Them
good.
Coming.
Okay,
really
so
am.
That's June 10th.
And then on.
I'm sorry to miss them. Darn. Shoot. Okay.
The following Friday, I have Laura Cheadle, and she is a jazz, rock, pop vocalist.
Okay.
Really good singer. And her band. The key member of her band is her father, who is the songwriter and keyboardist, and he's really good.
Where did you hear them?
This came to me, a recommendation from a former colleague of mine, a reporter at WABC, N.J. Burkett, and he's really good friends with Laura.
Okay.
And he said, you should book her, you know? And so I went to
what's
YouTube.
Her last name? Cheadle?
Cheadle.
Like Don Cheadle, the movie star?
C-H-E-A-D-L-E.
Oh, Cheadle. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I think that's how he spells his name. So,
she'll be coming. She's actually from New Jersey. And that's going to be great because, you know, I'm going to have some friends from Channel 7 showing up.
Right.
And it'll be a great night. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Bringing different people here, which has been your mission all along. So that's great. Good.
Yeah, but we have a lot of surprises coming up in the summer.
Okay. Oh, good.
Speaking
what are you doing this summer?
I was just going to say, speaking of that, wait a second. Where are you going to be on your birthday?
Well, I'm going to visit my sister in Victoria and Vancouver, Canada.
So, very cool.
I know. She's lived there for 6 years and I've never been. And they're moving back to Portland, Oregon at the end of this year. So I have to go. So I'm going for 10 days.
That's
going
really
to,
great.
To Portland, flying into Portland, going up to Victoria, staying in a great Airbnb in Victoria, and then going to Vancouver for a couple days and then coming home.
It's,
so I know.
Both
it's
places
supposedly
are beautiful.
Beautiful.
They really are.
Yeah. So
it's
I'm really
spectacular.
Excited about
incredible
that.
Setting.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Where are you going? I know you're going somewhere fun.
Well, in July, I'm going to Liverpool.
Liverpool? I can't do an English accent.
Yeah, I can't either. I shouldn't even try. Come out like Indian or something. My friend and I, big Beatles fans, we're doing the Beatles tour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're going to go to see where Paul and where John hung out as high school buds and wrote great music. And we're going to the Cavern nightclub in Liverpool. I'm really excited about it.
I'm really excited for you, too.
Also, my first time in Europe, overseas, since, you know, COVID.
Since COVID, yeah.
So that should be interesting, too.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds like a dream trip. I would go. And you did say I could go if I wanted to, but after coming back from Canada, I won't be able to do that. Yeah, I can't leave town that often with my mom.
And with Hawk.
And with Hawk, with my dog, you're right.
Mm-hmm. You can't abandon him.
I know, I can't be gone as much as I would like to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you're taking your responsibility seriously.
To my mom and my dog. She'll be 96 and lives in Hershey, so yeah, I can't leave her for that long.
No.
So, not my mom, not my dog. Sorry.
So what about any shout-outs since we last...
I do. And I have a really great shout out. And this is it's a personal one. My daughter just graduated, got her master's of clinical counseling from Messiah College. She actually lives in Colorado, so it was completely remote. So she got her master's and she got it on Saturday. So I'm thrilled about that.
And what exactly is it, the master's?
I know. It's clinical counseling. So she's going to be a counselor, and she was a marketing major in college, and she lived in New York in your neck of the woods doing marketing and for 5 years and realized it wasn't what she loved.
But isn't it, it's sort of like a new frontier in psychology, isn't it? If I can say from what I understand in talking to Carly.
Yeah, of what she's into.
It's sort of combining the outdoors, correct?
Right. It's adventure therapy it's adventure therapy. So it's actually having therapeutic sessions in nature, whether you're hiking or backcountry skiing. So yeah, it's a new area, and you cannot ever, the power of nature in your brain is a real thing, and there's a lot of science behind it at this point. So yeah, so that's my shout out is to her. She's been very focused.
I think it's great.
I agree.
And I think she'll be really good at it.
And she does. She thinks she wants to go on and get her PhD, so she'd be the first doctor in the family for sure.
Oh, my God.
I know. So that would be great. How about you? Do you have a shout out?
Yeah, I do. I came across this. I saw, was reading. I guess it's a shout out. Not 100% sure it's technically a shout out. But last year, in the middle of the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. 2021, the tourism in Lancaster County set an all-time record. I mean,
during
During COVID, an all-time record. There were 9 million visitors to Lancaster County in 2021.
Honestly, yeah.
And they spent $2.5 billion
dumped into this economy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just thought that was
I'm very surprised during COVID. Well, but then again, it's a drive destination.
Yep.
Because there are, 60 million people within a 3-hour drive of Lancaster. So there's huge population. But that says a lot for how attractive this county is. Is it all for Amish or shopping or?
You know what? $2.3 billion, that can't all be shoe fly pie. Right? It just can't be.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. I mean, Lancaster's become quite the culinary destination, so that's been encouraging. Oh, that's great. That is a shout-out. Shout-out to Lancaster County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. That's a good one. How about pet peeves? I know you do, because you always
have a pet peeve.
I know. Okay, what is it?
When you go to a restaurant, and it is so loud that you cannot hear each other talking.
You can't carry on a conversation.
You can't. I find it incredibly annoying.
Right.
And it's been happening a lot.
Yeah. Is that because you're getting older and your hearing is more acute or something? Is it age? Well,
no.
I know I'm the same age.
No.
I'm older, actually.
No, I don't think. I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that's not what it is. I think it's just bad acoustics.
Right.
And you know, I just get a sense that everyone is competing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like each table.
Volume just goes up and up.
And it really is kind of, I mean, because one of the reasons you go out to eat with friends
is to talk
and to have this camaraderie and this conversation. And all I would say is you know, if you were a restaurant where that's happening and you know it and you're the owner, I would fix it.
Yeah.
Because
it
for
is a
me,
deterrent.
It's
right.
a deterrent. I'm not as apt to go back to that restaurant if I had a bad experience
with
dining there.
Yeah. And my pet peeve is just very simple. It really is. I can summarize it all with lack of continuity in technology. If I'm walking around my condo and I just think hiking boots, all of a sudden my social media and everything will serve up information on hiking boots. It's like technology is so savvy. It can even predict what you're thinking.
Well.
But, well, you know what? I'm exaggerating.
You're exaggerating.
But it is amazing. Whereas if I go to my doctor's office or I call Verizon, the lack of continuity in the technology is so frustrating. If you get a different person on the phone, you have to repeat everything. They don't capture your data and keep it. At the doctor's office, they hand you a clipboard when you walk in. You have to complete the information that you just did a year ago. So I don't know why in marketing there's such incredible technology, but in some services, they don't have it. So that drives me absolutely crazy.
Did you have a recent bad experience with that?
Well, Verizon, I constantly have bad experiences that I can't get the same person, and I've already talked about what the issue is, and to have to repeat the whole thing to the next person is really frustrating. So anyway, that's my pet peeve. Hey, okay, so let's hear our interview with Colebrook Road.
We did the interview right after their performance.
After the show.
And it was a barn burner.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought...
It was great.
They
did a great
job.
And you and I both thought they're going to hate this because they're exhausted. But boy, did they... It was... They did a great interview. So let's take a listen.
Let's listen. Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate it. So let me ask you... Well, how did it go tonight? How did you guys feel up there? Because it certainly was, I think, a real barn burner.
I mean, I think we were worried a little bit. It was a monsoon today, all day long. That definitely can deter a crowd from coming out. But we heard ticket sales were up, and people were excited to come out. And we've been, hearing about your venue. And so we were kind of getting excited about it. And
really excellent job tonight. Okay, I want to ask you guys. So everybody was really into it. And then at the end, it's the standing ovation and the encore call. So what does that feel like to you as you're ready to wind down, but you got to keep going?
Well, we already played the song we were going to play for our encore before that happened. So then it feels like, oh, man, we need to figure out what we're going to play. That's what it felt like first. But it's always appreciated, no matter if we think we're going to try to play an encore or not.
But there was such great energy, and you can feel it when you're up there playing.
100%, yeah. I mean, I was almost a little overwhelmed at the end. We had a show here recently that was out of town that there were maybe, 9, 10 people at?
Something like that.
And that's hard to take. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's like, are we still not growing? And then we had tonight, and it makes it all worth it. I mean, I was serious about that. And at the end, everybody smiling, cheering, like it was just really special to be a part of it. And not for like our ego or anything, or we're so great. It was just, we got to be a part of this beautiful thing with all these people. It was really cool.
Vibe.
Yeah.
We feel the same vibe, sure, that the audience does. And it's kind of intoxicating.
So who wants to take on the task of kind of explaining how Colebrook Road came about and when it came about?
It's me every time.
It's the most consistent story.
Okay. So Jesse and I went to high school together. Neither of us played bluegrass back then. We both moved away for college and other things and ended up back here. And a mutual friend connected us because she knew that we both played bluegrass music. And she was just like, you guys should get in touch. Thanks, Amy. And really, we just did it casually for a while. And then these two actually moved away for a little while. Steph went to grad school. And they came back, though. And we went to see the Steep Canyon Rangers in Mount Holly Springs. And then the next month, we went back to the same place and saw the Infamous String Dusters. But anyway, the two of us had been playing together. And we were like, after watching these shows and just like watching these two like young, like progressive kind of bluegrass bands, we were like, oh man, we need to find some guys and we need to start a band.
So when is this? Like,
this is 2009, I guess. 2008 and 2009. And I met a guy at work that played upright bass some, And we met our first banjo player, Marcus. I met him at a Super Bowl party. And we started playing together in like March. And somebody threw us a gig that we played like 5 songs at. And the guy that booked that place gave us 3 gigs that night. And we didn't even have enough songs to cover the gigs. I don't even know if we had a name.
Do you remember the venue? Oh,
yeah. It was the Rock Bass Grill in Lemoyne.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I know that place.
Figures.
Yeah, we did have fun there.
It's nice.
It's a nice place. It's not like a music venue by any stretch of the imagination.
Wow.
Yeah, we just like played in the corner of the bar. And we like it was a 3-set show, and we had 6 songs that night. And the guy was like, we would like to have you come and play a few dates. And we're like, great. And I was like, we booked them while I was sitting there. I was like, boys, we better learn some songs. And that was 13 years ago.
And we needed a name, too.
Oh, we needed a name, too. I think we named the band that night before the show.
How did you come up with it?
All the good ones were taken. That's
actually... Well, yeah. I actually think Colebrook Road is a really cool name. And maybe that's because I'm from Lancaster County. I know Colebrook Road.
Yeah.
And, you know, it stretches from Lancaster to Harrisburg and goes through some of the most beautiful farm country between those two cities.
Yep.
It's a really, I think it's rather fortuitous that you chose that name.
Yeah, well, at the time the band started, Jesse was living right off of Colebrook Road, and our banjo player Marcus was living right off of Colebrook Road in the next county. So just it sort of just kept coming up, you know.
So two of the band members lived off
like,
of Colebrook?
Like right off of Colebrook Road, pretty much, yeah.
That's great. So I'll tell you what, Jim and I saw you at Roots and Blues, and we saw you, and we both looked at each other and we said, they are so tight as a band. So I don't care, whoever wants to talk about sort of the rigor of your practice, and how have you developed, I know it's been 15 years, so how have you developed that
precision?
A lot of practice. We practice consistently every Wednesday night. We all have day jobs. So it's, you know, coming in after that for a couple hours in their house, in their basement, you know, and we do everything that we can. You know, we've gone to master classes with other musicians, and we all do that and take lessons whenever we can with, you know, really good, intimidating musicians to, you know, like figure out how they do what they do. And then we take it back and work on it. And, we're all writing music. It's really just a fun collaboration. And our long weekends away, we'll try to get away at least once a year for a band camp weekend.
It's interesting. How do you keep that sort of spark or that freshness? I mean, what keeps you guys driven like that?
It's nights like tonight. I mean, I'm not kidding. That is 100% answer. When the crowd is like that, it is something that you could chase until the day you die. It's like the perfect wave, the perfect mountain with the most amazing snow or whatever that thing is. It's like a drug. And when it's right, so worth it. And tonight, I mean, I really was overwhelmed at the end. And that's what gives you the drive when you're tired, when you have to work, when you get the constant rejection or, you know, not seeing what everybody else is doing and you didn't get all those gigs or those festivals or whatever, it's remembering nights like tonight.
And you even mentioned that on stage. I marked that because I wanted to ask you about that, because that must be what sort of gets you, because it is hard work. And also, you all have full-time jobs besides this, correct?
Yes.
What can I ask you, what's your full-time job?
Well, I'm actually the only full-time musician, and I teach violin. And well, you know, like everything I do is I'm a private violin teacher at a school of music and a private studio, and I play in 2 symphonies and I do this and, you know, musicals and things like that.
You can tell our interview style is not as tight as the stage show.
You just had a hell of a long day at work.
I'm an environmental consultant. I do like consult to wastewater treatment plants.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about the details.
That's fine. I gotcha.
Jesse? I was a middle school public school teacher for 10 years and then gave that up to have a little more flexibility to be able to play with these guys and travel and tour. And in 19, we got to play all through Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Kansas. It was really cool. But my day job now that has flexibility is a carpenter, builder, and a little bit of art stuff thrown in there too. Yeah.
Do you think about goals or do you just you know, as a band, say to yourself, let's just keep trying to get better. Let's keep working this craft and it'll all fall into place. Or when you take that retreat where you take those 3 days and work together and practice, are you thinking, are you planning out, this is what we want to accomplish in the year ahead?
It's a balance, I'd say, of those things and trying to, because if you do one of them all the time, you'll go insane, you know, of like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to be? How are we going to, who's going to listen to us? You know, like, when's the next gig? You know, all these things.
Yeah.
The craft is the thing that we can control, you know, and sometimes we overdo that too. You know, like, oh, we just overarrange something and, you know, and things like that. But it's that balance because I think we find it. And
I mean, it's a moving target for us. I think we've been doing this for a long time and like, we obviously do have goals and I think we've probably exceeded a lot of the ones that we had a long time ago. So that's also, you know, that's a good feeling. But if you're too goal driven and something that you enjoy, sometimes it starts to suck the fun out of it. So we need to make sure we try to do both.
We all need to remind myself and remind each other that a lot of the things that we have achieved would be things that we never would have dreamed we could have done when we first started. I mean, just like, for example, we're going to Gettysburg next weekend for the fourth time in a row. That was the first bluegrass festival I ever went to with Wade, way before we had a band. I didn't
it's
even
also
really.
The first bluegrass festival I ever went to, period.
Yeah.
Like years and years before that.
And now we sort of have a little bit of a following there. The crowd there loves us, and we're like a name, you know, hobnobbing backstage with the big dogs. It's like, we just need to remember, yes, it's hard. Yes, we don't get everything that we want, but there are some really cool things that we've gotten to do.
Hey, you're listening to the Shirt Factory Center Stage podcast with Kim and Jim.
I think you mean, Jim and Kim.
No, I mean Kim and Jim.
Before we wrap up, I'm just curious, what do you listen to? What's on your playlist?
Mozart, that's all he ever plays.
Not true.
Mozart. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you into right now?
You know who I've really been listening to a lot? Jackie Green. He's going to be at Delfest. I got caught wind of one of his tunes, and I've just been listening to his whole catalog. But then whenever I'm playing for the symphony, I'll put those on and listen to that a lot.
I've been listening all week for some reason. I think it's because one of my coworkers just got into him just like in the last 2 weeks, which is really cool. But Jason Isbell. You know, and especially for me as a songwriter with, you know, a lot of songs that I've written, it's like I'm trying to listen a little more closely and figure out how to take songwriting to like closer to his level, because he's not just writing normal songs, but they're really deep. Like they're it's something special. So I'm trying to like hear and figure out what that might be.
I've been on like a real, like lately, like a female singer songwriter kick, modern stuff, like Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus and Waxahachie, and like all these kind of like, they're like all kind of like young-ish, like modern female singer-songwriters, but they keep ending up on my playlist. Like, I don't know. That's what's going on now. I don't know it'll be different later.
So in reading about Colebrook Road, I keep seeing this thing about bridging the gap between traditional bluegrass and contemporary progressive bluegrass. What the hell does that mean?
There's a thing called the bluegrass police, and it's happened for several generations, and it's happened with country music really since the advent of country music. I mean, when Hank Williams Sr. came out, people said he's ruining country. To me, that's when country started. And then later, Garth Brooks and Shania Twain, they ruined country. And then you go down the generation, same thing with bluegrass. Like, Flatten Scruggs ruined bluegrass. It's not real. That ain't bluegrass. And people say that. And to us, it's like, why does that matter? Is it good? Do you like it? So for us, we like to, you know, have some of those flavors in our music of the old traditional stuff, but we are not traditionalists. We are willing to go wherever the music takes us with the five traditional bluegrass instruments.
Yeah. Like the Billy Joel song.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that contemporary bluegrass?
Yeah, it's very.
I mean,
that
was one of your hottest numbers tonight.
That was written a few years ago, and I feel like we're less bridging a gap these days than we ever were. Like, we don't play any traditional songs anymore. Like, we play almost all original music or like things from outside of bluegrass music. But I think the foundation of traditional bluegrass
there's
is
no
still
mistake
there.
In it.
You know, but it's a strange place to occupy.
Yeah.
the place between traditional bluegrass music and like modern bluegrass, because it's pretty far removed these days from what people think traditional bluegrass is. So yeah, being in the middle sometimes sort of lands you in no man's land.
Well, listen, you guys got to promise me that you'll come back.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an easy promise.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We'll lock it That's, in, man. Yeah. Be- for sure.
Because I have to tell you, you guys, you're the second band, now this is in a year, the second band that has sold out. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't, don't worry. You guys are doing just fine.
Yeah.
And you sold out quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's really building, and you're all really
great.
You can tell, like at your core, you're really good people that have a real passion around your music. So, I just think like that's bound for success. Too. Yeah, you can see that too when well, you're
that,
playing.
I think that speaks to the longevity of the band, and keep it going because it's really great
it's
stuff.
Really good.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much.
We look forward to you coming back again. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Hey, while you're thinking about it, go to where you get your podcasts, subscribe, and give us a review.
Visit our website, lititsshirtfactory.com, to join our mailing list.
You'll get updates, event information, and lots of cool stuff. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Lit It Shirt Factory.
And don't forget, come to have a beer and a bite at Collusion Tap Works,
located right here at the Lititz Shirt Factory, 5 Juniper Lane, in Lititz.